Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, your gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. This is Mike Campbell, and this is episode 88. And I am joined by, as always,
Eric Lee.
And from New Orleans,
Liz Williams.
Hello, all.
Hey.
And happy New Year again.
Yes. And so as the new year turns around, what happens, Mike?
We look forward to new horror films.
Yes. Yeah. We have not had a great record on predicting what's really going to be good.
I would say right now, 2 years into the podcast, I am batting, I'm going to say 200.
I think that's about right. Because let me review again, because Liz, this is sort of the pre-Liz era of
the dark days of the podcast.
We were directionless.
And, we were aimless. We were shiftless.
The influence of Liz, who has been a cattle prod to let's get this thing going.
Yes.
Let's figure out what we're gonna record, and putting TV onto the menu.
That's right.
This was just me and Mike. Yep. And so last year I'm batting maybe 500.
Okay. What did we have last year?
So last year I had Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Pretty solid.
That one's good.
I enjoyed it. I gave it 3 stars. And I like big monster movies.
Yep.
Black Hole didn't come out. Crawl, winner.
Super winner.
Brightburn. I like Brightburn. So
a lot of people did.
Yeah, it was all right.
I've gotten some real heat from Brightburn. Yeah. I mean, people are going, that movie sucked. You're an idiot. It's like, all right, I got a troll. People are reading my reviews. This is great.
Hooray.
Yay. Thank you for dissing me. Mike, however.
All right. Let's hear it.
The Curse of La Llorona.
Mm,
ooh,
not
sorry,
good.
Mike.
Not good.
3 from Hell.
Mm, still haven't seen it.
Oh, my Lord. That was an awful, awful experience for me.
All right.
Pet Cemetery.
So-so.
Middle of the road. So. And Ma. Did you see it yet?
Didn't see it.
Liz
yep.
did.
Yep. Didn't like
I
it.
I did. Not my worst of.
So based on that.
So two of your picks, Eric. I mean, Mike, were on our
worst list. And then the other two might have been.
And you didn't see either of them.
And I didn't see. Yeah. I just knew inherently.
So, you know, this is as an oracle. Could use a little extra incense or something like this
yes.
to get the prognostication wheels going, because you actually did see a lot of really good movies last year.
Oh my gosh, did I ever? Yeah. Yeah. So this year I polished my crystal ball.
Okay.
And it is it's been very insightful.
Nice.
Yeah. So with that said, let's get going on the films we're looking forward to in 2020.
Okay.
Liz, what do you got?
Okay. I am looking forward to a lot of things in 2020. But what I'm going to start with is, and it's going to be a Netflix original film
Uh-oh.
That's coming out. They just say Q1 of 2020, so they don't have an actual release date. And it is called I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's directed by Charlie Kaufman. And it is based on one of my favorite books that I have tried to review and I can't do it because it's too hard to review. It's by Ian Reid. And it's going to be starring Jesse Plemons, Brie Larson, and Toni Collette. And here is the summary. A man takes his girlfriend to meet his parents, but they find themselves going on a terrifying detour as it becomes a twisted mix of palpable tension, psychological frailty, and sheer terror. So the book opens up with what I'm guessing is going to be Brie Larson's character, a girlfriend who's in the car with her boyfriend going to meet his parents. And the first sentence is, I'm thinking of ending things. Mm. So you don't know if she means with the boyfriend, her life, what are we talking about?
Her parents.
And... Yeah, you don't know. And as things unfold, stuff goes kind of crazy. I can't say anything else. The book is so good, but you're like, wait, what? I don't think that's right. Wait, something's off here. And then the ending is mind blowing. I've read it like 4 times, and I've also listened to the audiobook, which I definitely recommend for anybody who reads the book and thinks that they don't get the ending. So it's going to be a Netflix original movie coming in Q1. So hopefully that'll be before April, and directed by Charlie Kaufman. It's going to be, I think, something kind of cool.
Great cast.
So I'm thinking of ending things. Yeah, the cast is great.
I'm going to go read the book because Liz never steers me wrong with books.
It's pretty short. It's probably like 250 pages.
I am going to go get it. Done. It's happening.
And Eric, you're an audiobook listener. I definitely recommend audiobook.
All right.
So, Mike, what you got?
My number three film is an American supernatural horror film directed by Scott Cooper. This is Antlers.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is based on...
Also starring Jesse Plemons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Plemons is it. Yeah. And Kerry Russell. Yeah. It's... Yeah. This was a short story written by Nick Antosca,
yeah.
The Quiet Boy, and it is scheduled for release on April 20th. Basically, involves a small town teacher, Kerry Russell, and her sheriff brother, who become entwined with a young student in her school who is harboring a dangerous secret with frightening consequences. Of course, being a homer for the great state of Oregon, I was like, oh, it takes place in Oregon. And allegedly some of the initial filming was done in Oregon.
Mostly in BC.
But mostly, in fact, it was all done.
Like summer of 84 was a similar kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, it's taking place in Oregon. It's like,
it
nah,
was all
it
shot matter. In Vancouver.
That's Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all shot
cheap
in
labor.
Canada. Yep, cheap labor. Those Canadians. Anyway, there is a trailer out for it.
It's good.
And the trailer looks cool. Super interesting, looks really good. The kid looks good. The monster, I was a little disappointed because they do show you quite a bit of the monster, and it looks like some sort of like deformed
forest beast.
I was hoping for like a level of what we saw in The Ritual.
Yes.
That's the kind of vibe I got. So I was hoping for that. So
particularly
this
when it
is on
antlers.
My.
Yeah.
This just list when I thought I was doing 5, but
yeah. Yeah. This is forcing me to shift. I have backups, so I can avoid the collision here. But this was also I'm very much looking forward to this one.
Get to your backups,
yeah,
or all get right. to your number three.
All right, so my number three is. We're getting back on the Fangoria train.
All right,
this is VFW.
What?
It's a.
I don't even think I saw this.
This is directed by Joe Bagos, who did Bliss, which was at last year's Overlook Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit that I finished Bliss when actually preparing for this list. Not a movie for me, but I could certainly see a lot of strength in this director. He's got a real good visual eye. He's a good storyteller, and this is about a group of war veterans who must defend their local VFW post and an innocent teen against a deranged drug dealer and his relentless army of punk mutants. So this has got some serious Assault on Precinct 13 or Green Room kind of things. A little bit of John Carpenter about it.
But it plays serious, though.
It does. It's got Stephen Lang, who's the blind man from Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
Bill Sadler, who was in The Mist and Shawshank Redemption. Martin Cove, who is Sensei Kreese from Karate Kid. It's got Fred Williamson.
What?
Dusk Till Dawn. it's got George Wendt from Cheers, who was also in Bliss.
Uh-huh.
David Patrick Kelly, who was Luther from The Warriors.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sierra McCormick, who was Faye from The Vast of Night. Remember the young girl with the switchboard operator? And, and Travis Hammer, who's done lots of TV. So it's got this awesome cast. It looks like a home invasion, but that's actually a VFW bar, right? And
wow.
It looks insane. And so I actually just sent a message out to Amanda Presmick. One, I think congratulations, Amanda, if you're listening to us. Congratulations on your new promotion at Fangoria. But she just sent me a link, a screener.
Oh,
to go check it out. So,
to VFW.
Oh, wow.
We're going to get on. So, and the poster for VFW is awesome.
So yeah, so
awesome, awesome, awesome.
So we will review the screener and get a get an early review out to you, Mike and Liz. I'll share it with you, but for our general audience, you're gonna have to wait.
When is that coming out?
It's coming out on February the 14th. So you're not gonna have to wait too long.
All right.
So, anyways, that looks, and there was a big thing. If you guys get the Fangoria monthly, there's a big spread. Actually, it's quarterly. But they have a multi-page thing about the production of VFW.
Cool. Super cool. All right.
Liz.
Okay. My next number two has a trailer out, but from the trailer, I don't think you can really tell what's going on. And this is Antebellum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
directed by Gerald Bush and Christopher Wren, starring Janelle Monáe. And the summary is: a successful author finds herself in a horrifying reality and must figure out the mystery behind it before it's too late. So the trailer shows a mixture of actual, like, you know, Civil War time plantation and modern day. So I'm wondering if any kind of like time travel or past lives or something like that, but it looks cool. It has a vibe that I am into. Janelle Monáe is a great multi-talented actress, singer, everything. And it just looks really cool. So based on the vibe of the trailer, teaser trailer alone, I am eagerly looking forward to this one, and it will also be released in April. So it looks like the springtime is going to be pretty good for horror fans.
I think one of the nice things about Antebellum is they gave you a trailer that gets you intrigued without telling you too much.
Yeah, which is, you know what, the Antlers trailer, I was almost going to say, it's like 2.5 minutes long, and there's too much shown in. And I have kind of a love-hate relationship with trailers. When they're done right, like I think this one for Antebellum was, where you get a feeling and kind of an aura of the movie without seeing the big bad or really getting key plot points, it gets you in the mood of like, oh yeah, wait, I want to go see that. That looks cool. Yeah. Because it's just supposed to draw you in, not tell you what the whole movie is about. And in the past couple of years, I feel like trailers have really been like showing you half of the movie.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And I think Mike posted
this trailer.
Sometimes
I don't want to watch them at all. Okay. When I'm hearing buzz, sometimes I don't want to watch trailers at all because I don't want to know anything.
Right.
Yeah. But
no, I second that. You know, I think that.
But I love them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for a good one. Like, I think Hereditary is one of the best ones within the genre. It gave you a lot of the feels, but it didn't give any of the major plot points away. So,
And it actually almost flipped it because you thought that Charlie was going to be the main person in the movie because they kept showing her, and then you know,
and then oops, telephone pole.
Quarter of the way through. Right. She's not really there anymore. So,
spoiler alert.
So I'm looking forward to Antebellum. That's my number two.
I agree. That sounds like a great one.
All right. Yeah. My number two, I might be fudging a little in the Eric Lee vein and getting my years crossed.
How could that possibly happen? I can't fathom that.
But this is a film that I think did make the circuit sort of last summer.
But it hasn't had a theatrical release.
It has
release.
Not had a theatrical release. That's coming
for US,
I believe in March.
Yeah,
I'd
count anything
year.
That if it's been on the festival circuit but hasn't.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
sure,
for a lot of our fans, actually, that's going to be extraordinary.
Right, right.
And The Lodge. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So hey, and New Orleans fans, Extraordinary is going to be playing at the Broad Theater for a week in March. So
do it.
There you go.
So everybody keep your eyes out in your local theaters, especially independent ones, for Extraordinary.
I think, Liz, you're going to have to go door to door in New Orleans and start drumming up some interest.
Like proselytizing and saying, like, I'm going to introduce you to.
Have you heard the good word, brother?
Yep, spreading the news. Spreading the news of Christian Winter.
Yes. My number two has nothing to do with comedy. This is an A24 film, Saint Maud. This is a psychological horror film written and directed by Rose Glass in her directorial debut. It involves a hospice nurse, Maud, who's been converted to Roman Catholicism and is concerned that she may be possessed when she becomes infatuated with Amanda, a former dancer in her care. Katie Riffy of the AV Club said it was striking, affecting, and mordantly funny at times, and its confidence evokes the ecstasy of films like Carrie and The Exorcist. It looks super good. It looks like which obviously we just talked a little bit about the idea that, you know, you can't show too much, but they show you enough to give you the impression that there might be a witch's coven.
I'm always down for a witch movie.
I'm always down for a witch's coven. And it's interesting because it sort of sets up like this young girl who has just recently discovered Roman Catholicism and being paired up with potentially a witch's coven and having to deal with these two obviously conflicting viewpoints on the world. But I watched the trailer in bed the other night and got thoroughly, thoroughly spooked by the trailer, which, as a grizzled horror podcaster, almost never happens. So that's why it made it its way onto my top three.
What
films.
Is this again?
St. Maud.
It's coming out in March.
March, yeah. And it's an A24
I just saw
production.
The preview for this too, and when we went and saw Uncut Gems this week, they were previewing it before that. So.
Yeah, looks good. It looks really good.
Looks cool. Yep. Agreed.
All right, Eric, what do you got for your number two?
So my number two is it's going to be a small indie. It actually, similarly to St. Maud, it was on the festival circuit last year. But it has a release date for... Actually, I don't have the release date set yet because I think it's still working through the festival circuit. But this is a movie directed by Jeremy Gardner, who is an actor who was in a movie that I really enjoyed last year called Sadistic Intentions.
Mm-hmm.
He plays kind of a burned-out rock star who's supposed to meet with his buddy who apparently has... Who wants to do a Satan rock out thing? And the guy's like, "Hey, man, I don't know if we should do that." he was also Gardner was also one of the stars in Bliss,
right?
And so he's got a bit of a Zach Galifianakis thing about him, but not quite so squatty. Mm-hmm. He's got wild, crazy eyes and a beard. Once you see him, you won't forget him as an actor. He's a very interesting actor. But this is it's sort of a quiet indie film, but. The plot is for a small town bar owner, Hank Gardner. His 10-year relationship with Abby, played by Bria Grant, has been storybook quality. Abby, however, wants more, marriage to be exact, which Hank doesn't seem ready to initiate anytime soon. As a result, she leaves him without so much of a note or a subsequent communication. Hank is crushed. Even worse, Abby's departure seemingly triggers the arrival of an unseen monster that claws at Hank's front door at night. As the nocturnal threat intensifies, Hank must figure out how to not only to save his relationship, but also himself. So this has looks of, it reminds me of Sadistic Intentions in a way. It looks like it's sort of a contained movie, but it really is one of those, and maybe like Midsommar, relationship heavy, right? This is, explicitly this is a relationship and horror movie, and whether this is some sort of a spirit or a manifestation of a relationship gone bad coming back to attack him. It looks very interesting, and it also features I think Justin Benson, who was in who was one of the directors for The Endless and Spring.
Mm-hmm. Right,
They've got another movie out called Synchronic, which also looks interesting. But anyhow, this is one of those ones for the indie movie darlings. I'm kind of hoping that this one shows up at Overlook, to be honest. I hope that it might be a later release, and that will, if this one shows up at Overlook, I'm all over it.
What was the release date again?
They don't have a release date because it's been playing. That said 2020 is the only thing they said. Okay. So,
all right,
we'll see. Cool. It's completed. So unlike last year when I was talking about. Black Hole, which is still in pre-production.
Right.
It's actually been screening at festivals, so I'm expecting this one to be out.
What was this one called again?
It's called After Midnight.
Okay.
After midnight, we're going to let it all hang. No, sorry.
Okay, Mike's singing this time.
Eric Clapton.
That was my best Eric Clapton ever.
All right, slow hand.
Liz, what do you got for your number one film that you are looking forward to in 2020?
Okay, I'm switching around my list because I had St. Maud, but that's okay because I had tons of backups. And the next, so what I'm going to choose is one that is coming out in April, starring Carey Mulligan, and it is called Promising Young Woman. It is directed by Emerald Fennell, And the plot summary is, nothing in Cassie's life is what it appears to be. She's wickedly smart, tantalizingly cunning, and she's living a secret double life by night. Now, an unexpected encounter is about to give Cassie a chance to right the wrongs from the past. This one, I just saw a preview for, and I think this is going to be very similar to one of my favorite, it would be a horror, not horror movies, Hard Candy, starring... Yeah. Ellen Page and Patrick Wilson, because from the preview, Carey Mulligan's character goes out every night and goes to a bar and pretends to be completely wasted, waiting for a guy to take her home, and then exacts revenge on them. So this does look really good. Psyched for this. She's a great actress. I think this looks really cool and also very timely. But hopefully they'll be able to put a little bit of, you know, twists in it instead of just being a straight revenge film. So I'm excited for this one.
She's got a
promising young woman.
She's got a little Harley Quinn going on too.
A little bit. Yeah, in some of her
kinda,
going out outfits.
She's kind of got a little bit of the cosplay gone crazy thing going. I saw the trailer for that. It looked really good.
Yeah.
All these things. And again, we said this last year. With Curse of La Llorona and Ma, you know.
Yeah,
we're
All right. I'm not a psychic. All right. My number one film that I am looking forward to in 2020 stars Anthony Michael Hall reprising the role of Tommy Doyle from the original 1978 production of Halloween. This, of course, is Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
Bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis and Nick Castle as Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. Bringing back David Gordon Green. Bringing back Danny McBride.
Doing a CGI Donald Pleasance.
Doing a CGI Donald Pleasance. Yeah, I mean.
No, just kidding.
Probably.
It's Halloween meets the Irishman. If it is anything like the last installment, which I was incredibly reluctant to see and very skeptical of, this one I'm hopeful will be very, very good. I think David Gordon Green and Danny McBride have brought the right tone and tenor and respect to this franchise, and I think they kind of understand it. The cool thing, which I didn't realize going into even the first one or the second one, is that it's part of a trilogy.
Yes.
And that, in fact, in 2021, October of 2021, Michael Myers will die.
Yep. So, spoiler alert, Michael Myers will survive this movie.
And it is called Halloween Ends, is the 2021 one that is coming out. So this is, of course, coming out in October of this year, and I'm super excited to see it. The only thing that's been posted so far I think it was like last week, they posted about a 15-second little snippet, and then the only other thing that's been posted was posted on Halloween of last year, and it had Jamie Lee Curtis on a gurney covered in blood. And she lifted her head and said, "Happy Halloween." Those are the only two things that have been shown so far, and both are very intriguing. So I will be there in the theaters next year. I think Halloween is a great franchise, maybe one of the best franchises of all time. And so to see it continued on in the hands of David Gordon Green and Danny McBride is super exciting to me.
Do you listen to the Shockwaves podcast?
I do.
Ryan Turek, who's been, he's been, I listen to Shockwaves quite a bit. And actually, they're, not to put too fine a point on it, actually a pretty good source of recommendations. But Turek has been actually doing, he's part of the production team. And so sort of vicariously following how they're doing on that production, but they're keeping a real tight lid on it because this is you know, Blumhouse and I guess Fangoria is sort of associated with it now to some small degree, I think.
Okay.
I think they may have merged.
Sure.
I think that this was the previous installment hit the nail on the head where,
oh my gosh,
so many times that nails hitting or hammers hitting thumbs when they try and reboot, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or, Friday the 13th. They miss the intent. They try and get too heady with it, as opposed to actually getting back to the core of what made
right.
the movie great. And unfortunately for some of the other films, if you don't have the original Freddy available, if you don't have Robert Englund,
yeah,
right,
he made that those movies,
right.
And with Friday the 13th, there's no real there. Halloween had right. some meat to the
yeah.
bone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this will be going to be great. I do think it's going to be interesting to see if Laurie survives
right.
this one because...
You gotta think she is.
Yeah.
You got to think she's going to make her way to Halloween Ends. Although there is speculation that her daughter, who showed up in the first installment of the reboot, may become the new Laurie Strode.
Yeah, because if you're going to try and pull an Empire Strikes Back middle part of the trilogy and make it great.
Yeah.
And you know, you gotta kill your darlings. Yeah,
yeah.
And Jason's guaranteed to make the third movie. You gotta give us something to watch.
Right.
So that's the trick.
Maybe she'll just be frozen or have her hand cut off.
rise from the grave with a lightning bolt. Yeah, something like that. Something really clever.
All right, Eric, what is your number one film that you are looking forward to in 2020?
Well, this is great because like Liz had prepared a bunch of movies. I also had a bunch of movies.
What? So you're saying I don't prepare. That's all I heard.
I'm going around that question to say congratulations to Liz for preparing. I also
was just getting like really Eric in it. I had like seven. Yeah.
I also had Antlers. I also had Antebellum, but really I think I was waiting to see if either of you were going to pull out A Quiet Place too.
Mm. Well, I'm not interested at all.
And then, well, this is a challenge.
Yeah.
Both from I love the first movie.
Right.
And it is so difficult to pull off a second movie to an original idea. I mean, it's different than It Chapter One, It Chapter Two, because it's just two parts of the same novel.
Yep. Jim Halpert is back.
Yep. No. He's directing.
He's back in the director's chair.
But
yes.
you have Cillian Murphy, and you have Jaimon Hounsou coming in to play significant roles. The trailer's out. The trailer's been posted on our website. It's not too hard to find YouTube. I think Halloween and Quiet Place are the two biggest, I think, production releases. I think for mainstream audiences, these are going to be big numbers mm-hmm. movies.
Well, there's one.
I think also Conjuring 3 is coming out this year, so that's going to be the.
Yep, Liz, you totally took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, yeah. Conjuring 3 is the other big production that will be out this year. Although, based on the whole Conjuring universe, I'm not terribly excited to go back to that Conjuring well.
Yeah, it's Conjuring without James Wan,
yeah.
which is tough.
But I tried to find a trailer for it. There is not one yet, but it's supposed to be more of a, like they're taking. They're helping someone who's like saying that they're not guilty of committing these horrific murders because he was like possessed. So it's going to be
the
like
the devil made me do it is the
in
title.
Courtrooms and stuff. Yeah. But there's no trailers that I could find yet. All the Conjuring 3 trailers are really that Annabelle movie that just came out. Cause I guess it's like,
yeah, which was meh. I think the concept of the devil made me do it. Cause the Warrens actually did testify.
Right.
To see if like as witnesses about possession.
I think it sounds kind of a fresh take on that little franchise.
And I think, you know, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are good at what they do. It's just that that James Wan makes a difference when he's directing, when he's not directing. So.
Mike, what do you think about Quiet Place 2? This, to me, when I saw they were doing it, it was the biggest, like, why in the world would they do that?
Yeah, I kind of felt like that, too.
I liked the first one, but I just have no desire. This to me feels like a serious money grab. They didn't need to do it.
Well, I think that, I'll let Mike respond to that, but I think that the big, the money grab would be if Krasinski didn't come back to direct, to do his own thing. I think, what I'm suspecting is going to happen is it's going to be like 28 days later,
mm-hmm.
28 weeks later, was they put a lot of money into it. They brought some good actors to it. It had right. a lot of stuff. It wasn't as good, though.
Yeah. And it wasn't anywhere in the same universe.
I mean, it had a great opening sequence, and then it kind of fell apart because
I just don't think this movie's going to be good.
Yeah. It looks like they really lean on the preface to A Quiet Place a lot by showing the monsters and showing the invasion and showing, you know, sort of what happens initially. And then the latter part of the trailer gets into kind of an apocalyptic, like there's really bad people out there.
This is The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And that's what I was 28 days later too. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was afraid of. It started to look like a Walking Dead kind of thing. And I thought,
it's a challenge. I'm curious. Yeah. I'm with you, Liz. I think that I'm a little worried about it. Because it was one of those movies where I thought, This was a nice bow on a package. Although
seems like a way to devalue the first movie. Yeah.
The thing is so great about the first movie is that it's a family dynamic and it's a very insular film. You don't have a lot of interaction with the outside world. It's really just this family facing the space aliens. Mm-hmm. But I think as soon as you start pulling all these other injects into the film, it kind of rang hollow to me.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yes. When's it coming out?
It is, hold on.
It's an early, I think it's a pretty
it's
early.
It's not far from now. It's the reason why we have March the 20th.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Wow.
It's coming soon. That's why we have a trailer.
We will get back to you.
Mm. Yep.
With this and many of our other predictions that fall apart in 2020.
All right. Well, I think we probably have a little bit of time to talk about some grave digging.
Grave digging.
So, sure. Liz, what have you got for grave digging?
I do. So this was going to be one of my looking forward to things of 2020, but it is out and I have just started up. On Netflix, they have with BBC, so I think it's running the same time in Britain, is a new three-part kind of like movie series, because they're each an hour and a half long, version of Dracula.
Yes.
To you by Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat, the team behind the new updated Sherlock. And I'm only one episode in, and so far it is a very different take. It is very bloody, yet also has a little bit of that sexiness. The acting is phenomenal, and I can't wait to see where this goes, because I am not a huge Dracula fan. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, that story's been told a ton of times. So they are doing something different with it, and it looks cool. And it's actually pretty funny. They have got some really great one-liners. And then I'm going to add one more thing, because it's not horror related, but another 2020 release that came out at the end of the year and then now is just like getting everywhere is Uncut Gems. Please go see it. Horror fans will like it because it is the most stressful movie I have ever seen. It is edge of your seat. You are freaking out the entire time. Adam Sandler is absolutely magnificent. And go see Uncut Gems. You will not regret it, horror fans, because it's thriller.
And as opposed to making the recommendation, I think that it's gotten some heat because there's a lot of Adam Sandler comedy fans, and this is not
this is not comedy.
A very different film for him.
Right.
So this is this is
He's absolutely wonderful. It is so good. Your heart is, you are literally on the edge of your seat. Your heart is pounding. He plays a gambler and a high stakes gambler, which is the kind of character I hate because I'm like, every decision you're making is wrong. And I'm so emotionally involved with you. And now I'm so stressed out. And it's really good though. So horror fans will like it because they're discerning fans who like quality material.
That's right. That's right.
Run them up, Liz.
Most of the time.
That's right. And speaking of vampires, weren't we supposed to be doing a sexy horror episode at some point?
Well, we can always do sexy horror sometime.
Sexy horror.
You name it, Mike. Get your sexy on.
All right. My grave digging, also coming to the small screen, which I never, ever talk about the small screen. The Sci-Fi Channel, SYFY, just announced that from creator Don Mancini, there is going to be a Chucky TV series.
Yes.
Coming to the small screen.
The original Chucky notion.
This is the original Chucky notion, and the TV show is the latest in the Chucky franchise, which, of course, began with 1988's Child's Play. Some of the initial buzz looks pretty solid about it, so if you got a subscription or a cable subscription to the Sci-Fi Channel, check out Chucky coming your way in 2020, soon-ish.
This was one where I think that the recent iteration of Child's Play,
right?
There was a real tug of war between Mancini and
the
production house that did the new Child's Play, where they went sort of this digital,
right,
sort of upload kind of an evil tech,
right,
kind of thing, or evil social media stuff.
Yes.
Who knows? That's not my thing, so I didn't go see it.
That's Eric's thing.
But this is going back to possessed serial killer Chucky, wisecracking Chucky.
Yep.
And Brad Dourif.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Did it look like it's kind of a starting at the first movie and like just retelling it in a series? Or
that's the take on it. Yeah.
Reboot.
And I think, you know, I actually went back and watched the original Chucky this last year.
It's terrifying. That's all scary.
Yeah. It's actually really solid. I think it's a very, very solid film.
It's the sequels that fall apart.
Yeah. The sequels do fall apart. Yeah. Cause it gets a little too
very campy.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Cool. That sounds cool.
Eric, what do you got for grave digging this year?
Well, I think part of my grave digging is I wanted to do a 2-year anniversary shout out to some of the people who write to us the most on our website. So Chris Cleland, I think you have been sort of riding the top of our Facebook fan page for quite a while.
Good job, Chris.
I want to say thank you for constantly checking our stuff out. And
Chris usually agrees with us too. So
I know.
That's cool.
Yeah, Chris is the voice of optimism. He's not the one who tells me that my review of Brightburn was shitty. That's somebody else. But we still appreciate the negative input
because
it means
we
at least
do.
You're reading it.
Another
shout out to Chris Cangiano, who's also been very supportive of us and pops in now and again. And also Ty Collins, who we met at Wizworld, who are some folks who are somewhat active in our community. Just drop us little hellos or thumbs ups, and we appreciate all those kinds of that feedback. And actually, I think Ty is a big time Tough Mudder competitor. He's like for his age group, he's like a grand champion or something like that. So
cool.
Hey man, congratulations for going through the muddy pits and the rope swings. Good job with that. So now for my actual grave digging.
Mm-hmm.
Want to drive everybody's attention to a website, because one of Mike's favorite short films from last year, The Ballad of Squirt Reynolds, showed up on a YouTube service called Alter.
Yeah.
And Alter's been around for a little while, but they have all of a sudden started to snag a lot of our favorite short films from the festival circuit. The Dollmaker, We Summoned a Demon, Death Metal, The Laughing Man, The Armoire. They've got a lot of really good horror shorts, and that's just like maybe 10% of them. The ones that they got a lot of them. So letting you guys know that I'm going to be dropping in on Alter periodically to sort through some of the cool short films. But for our fans who are also small filmmakers, and I know we have some out there, I don't know how Alter picks the films, whether you submit it to them like it's a film festival and they vet it and then they post it, or whether they come to you because they're looking for quality content. I think they are certainly picking out some of the best of the best.
Yep.
I know we've been waiting a long time for the Bloody Ballad of Squirt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
So that is now posted on our website to check it out. And I have already
watched it twice.
Yeah. So go check out the Alter on YouTube, subscribe to them and subscribe to us.
That's right.
And like us on all the the social media things that I don't watch horror movies for.
Yeah, that might kill you.
Yeah, that's right. Don't All worry. Right. There's no countdown involved here. So
I'm going to take us out with a tagline based on Eric's review this week of Underwater, which is getting great buzz. And Eric really liked Underwater. And I encourage you to go read Eric's review of Underwater at the Scariest Things. .com website 1T. This, of course, is the tagline to the 1989 film Leviathan. Aliens thrilled you. The fly shocked you. Now experience real fear. Leviathan.
Yeah. I like Leviathan.